Hello, welcome to all the final girls and final guys out there listening to this podcast. This is Captain Groovy from the Captain Groovy and Final Girl podcast, obviously. I have a question to ask you. What possibly could go wrong? Let's see, a wedding, five of your close friends, and a cabin. That's right. We're going to be talking about the one movie with two different names. Some of you guys might know the movie under the original title, Seclusion. And some of you guys might have watched it under its new name, Cabin Fever. Not to be confused with Cabin Fever by Eli Roth. In this episode, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to dice it up and we're going to dish it up. Talk to you guys in a few seconds. All right, guys, welcome back. Thank you for sticking around after the intro. So we're going to get right to it. It depends, I guess, during when you actually saw this film. When I originally saw this film, I remember seeing it as Seclusion. And I probably saw it probably about maybe a year ago, year and a half ago. And just recently, I was just going through, I believe it was Amazon. When I started scrolling around and I saw this film called Cabin Fever, and I started to think to myself, Cabin Fever. I was like, this is kind of interesting. So I went ahead and I clicked on it and I kind of read it. And I just basically thought, well, as you all know, that a lot of horror movies, whether they're, the big Hollywood movies that they pump a ton of money in it, or just your average, B-movie horror film, or sometimes I like to call it the no-budget or C-level horror films, usually all pretty much kind of, I don't want to say copy from each other, but they're pretty similar. When there were snakes on a plane with Samuel Jackson, there were snakes on a, train. When you have, Sharknado, you'll have something else, like Mega Shark versus, Super Octopus or whatever. So sometimes a lot of the movie plots are kind of, pretty similar. I started to watch it and I was like, wait a minute, this movie looks pretty familiar. And I went ahead and I, like many of us, we either hit Google or we go to IMDb, check out the films that we're actually watching. So I looked at it and it came up as Seclusion. It's like, oh, that's I remember now. I saw this one. And it's funny because I don't know. I can only assume that the reason why they went ahead and did the name change from Seclusion to Cabin Fever is probably to get more viewers, kind of to cash in into the whole, cabin. If you were to go onto IMDb right now, you could probably see a ton of movies. You'll see, as soon as you start typing cabin, you're going to see Cabin Fever. You're going to see this one, Cabin Fever, but the movie poster is going to say Seclusion. You're going to see a cabin in the woods. You're going to see a cabin in the hills. And, I guess they're trying to attract those kind of viewers. I went ahead and watched it all over again, because not that it was a bad movie, it was just something that I watched a while ago and I guess I wasn't really thinking about it. I mean, obviously I didn't have this podcast right here to talk about it, so I went ahead and I rewatched it, and it brought back some memories, some shaking my head, some of them like, oh, okay, I remember, to some like, okay, so this wasn't that half bad. And honestly, I don't think the movie is really half bad, but hey, I'm the kind of guy that likes to watch, horror films. I mean, to me, I look at a ratings. It doesn't really matter if it's, 3 out of 10, 7 out of 10. To me, it's just kind of like turn off your brain and just, click yourself in and just go for the ride. So any of you, filmmakers out there, don't worry, I'm not going to sit here and going to bash your movie or anything like that. It's just, basically, can you entertain me? Suspension of disbelief. Just going to turn off and I'm just going to go for it. And it's like, is this not super realistic, but is this plausible? Can I, really see this happening? So it's like, show me the scenery. It's like, here he is, here's your story. It's like, I'm coming into your town, whatever movie, I look at each movie as your town, and I'm talking to, filmmakers and, writers and stuff like that. Show me around, show me what you got. Because the beautiful thing about filmmaking is the fact that each person, has a story. Sometimes getting the story out can be a little bit difficult. It could be frustrating. It can be challenging. but I truly believe everybody's got a story. You know, hey, you might write a script and you might give that script to five different directors and you're going to come up with probably five different films, five different visions of this one particular script. So sometimes I'll watch a movie and it's like, well, I probably wouldn't have gone with that scene, but hey, it's not my movie, but I enjoyed it. So now let's go and get into Seclusion, or Cabin Fear, whichever you prefer. The one movie that has two names. So it kind of starts off, you know, at first when I remember when I first saw it, I kind of was watching it and I was like, what's this? You know, it kind of starts off in the dark. You hear some people talking. It's this couple. They walk out to like a rooftop and it's, you know, all nicely lit. And obviously it's, you know, a party and you got someone that comes out saying, you know, surprise. You know, so to me, it wasn't clear if this was like a surprise, you know, not necessarily a bachelor party, but just a surprise party, because the couple that came in is obviously the engaged, you know, couple, and it was, you know, just all their friends, and you get to meet, you know, the best friend, because all these movies have that formula, you know, where they break down each character and there's always somebody there, you know. So got the guy's best friend, who's usually the one that kind of gives you bad advice, or he's usually the super sexually charged, you know, guy, or he's usually the guy that's, you know, either a drinker, or there's always something wrong about this guy. But there's always a bond between the two, you know, the two characters, you know. So the spouse or the, you know, the girlfriend always kind of has to accept him. And we probably all have somebody like that in our lives, you know. It's just, you know, so it's funny. And then after, there's, you know, long lost friend, the friend that, you know, no one's really seen in like years, you know, shows up, you know, and she happens to be a female instead of a male. And they all start talking about how they're going to go up and they're going to go get married in the woods, you know, up in this cabin. It's going to be this romantic, you know, all scenery. In realism, is it really going to be romantic going up to the woods with, you know, your friends? And usually it's like her friends as well, but it's just kind of odd that in this film, it was mainly like all of, like, it was like basically his friends and their significant others, you know, going up to the cabin where, you know, obviously she didn't have anybody that was her friend going up there. So anyways, as we go up into the cabin, they introduce this creepy old guy, because every movie has to have this one creepy old guy. It, you know, even if you look back to the old Friday the 13th, you know, films, I believe it was number 2, where you have the guy, Crazy Ralph, always telling kids, be careful, he's out there, you know. So in this film, you have the creepy guy. And he's the caretaker for this property, for the cabin, etc. Basically plays, you know, kind of like, you know, don't disrespect this area, blah, 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 you know, kind of always trying to preach on to these, you know, young 20 something year old. Obviously, we had if you break down the characters, you have your basic, at least, you know, for me, it came off as the token brother. And then they had the token blonde in there. They had kind of like these, I mean, and I know this movie has to do a lot with, it's a horror film, but it was kind of written along the lines of mixing the genre of comedy and horror. So a lot of this stuff was intentional. I think it was done to get kind of some sort of reaction, you know, like a laughter or something, or, you know, maybe they want people to relate and stuff like that, you know. So they actually had, you know, kind of like a stereotypical, you know, Hispanic guy with five different names, you know, or five names for, you know, being his full name. And obviously they had the sarcastic friend that always, you know, has those witty comebacks and, you know, that's really snappy, you know, moody and stuff like that. And obviously they had the, you know, like the tomboy, you know, and obviously they had the nice girl that we all know it's going to end up being the, you know, the final girl. And then we got the, you know, I don't want to say, I hate to use the term dumb boyfriend, but it's usually the case where he's usually clueless about something. He's not aware of what's going to happen or what might happen. So right from the get-go, you already kind of see, you know, tension, because obviously there's the engaged couple along with the two other friends in a car, which happen to be female, and you have the sarcastic girl kind of being like, well, so, you know, where have you been these, you know, last few years? And, you know, you're just finding out he's getting married, and kind of giving her the third degree, trying to grill her. You know, they kind of build that tension, slowly start building it. I could appreciate that. I think this movie here was was, like I said, you know, written kind of to be a little bit more on the comedy side with horror elements, you know, trying to balance that. So I think they were aware on how to establish all these different characters and how they're going to play with them. So I have to give the writing team a lot of credit, which happened to be written by Matthew Weiss, who happened to be the main lead. He played the groom, and the gentleman that ended up being the stereotypical Latino guy with the five different names ended up being the co-writer, and he also was the director as well. As a filmmaker, I think it helps your audience if they can relate to any of the characters, whether themselves or having a friend that's similar to that. I know they can really enjoy it. Sometimes they'll be like, hey man, that's like Tom there. Yeah, wouldn't Tom do something like that? Yeah, that's funny. Or hey man, that's just like Jennifer. Yeah, you know, so if you go into watching these films just, you know, just to be entertained, you know, for whatever reason, because you just, you know, want to see the latest, you know, movie, it's something that, you know, you just go for the ride and just enjoy it, because a lot of people put a lot of time, effort, and money to make these films. So anyways, that's my little spiel as being a filmmaker and my how I appreciate, you know, the fact that there is lots of choices for me to watch on a Friday or Saturday night, or, you know, whenever I have time to catch these films. So we're in the cabin, and obviously everyone's trying to get to, you know each other. And in every horror movie, there's got to be a killer. And it becomes on, who's this killer? Why is he killing us? Some of the things that, you know, I thought maybe was a little excessive, and it's going to sound weird, you know, coming from, you know, from a guy. There's this one couple that just, you know, sexually attracted to each other. They're obviously boyfriend and girlfriend. But it just seemed like every time they had an opportunity to show these guys, you know, having sex. To me, I think that formula works when you're kind of doing the whole Friday the 13th, you know, where Jason goes in the woods and kills people, you know, couples that are having sex, is because when he was drowned, the counselors weren't paying attention to him and they were all having sex, and Jason's got some big old chip on his shoulder, and who knows, maybe if he got laid, he'd be cool, but who knows? You know, every horror movie's got to have, obviously, its nude scenes. And I'll say this, you know, about other movies too. Sometimes there's too much gore. Sometimes too much is kind of, is bad. You have to find the right amount. For me, that's my opinion. And some people might feel different. They might say, oh yeah, more boobs, the better, you know, or hey, more sex scenes, the better, more blood, more guts, more, you know. To me, there's always been a moderation. You don't go in and eat a whole freaking pizza in one sitting, and then you sit there and like, oh damn, I'm stuffed, I want to throw up. You just want to eat a couple of slices and that's it. You know, make sure you're just satisfied and you move on. So like every horror movie, everybody starts basically dying one by one, and it becomes a game of who done it? Who's got the reason to do it? Who is it? So after the whole wedding scene and stuff like that, they show them, you know, kind of all back of the cabin. You know, they're all end up, you know, celebrating, you know, and talking, and, you know, you got the minister guy. And it's just funny where he's just talking about like how there's a lot of, you know, fine looking women there. And, you know, the one guy's like, you know, dude, you know, you're talking about his wife and my girlfriend, right? And he's like, yeah, it's just kind of like an awkward conversation, you know, something that doesn't really chit chat about or something like that, you know. So but I see how they're just trying to establish this character of being kind of seedy, kind of trying to give a reason to why he should be dead or why this guy should be, you know, killed off. Because, you know, in every horror film, you got to have, you know, you got to give them a reason to kill somebody. So anyways, they want to make him seedy. And then, you know, he kind of gets a little, you know, too handsy with the, you know, with the one dude's girlfriend, and leads to a fight. The minister runs off, you know, running into the woods, all pissed off, you know, and, you know, just some really corny one-liners, and they stick with you, you know, because they're just so corny, because he's just like a kid. Oh, you know, he goes there, he's peeing on the tree. He's like, yeah, how do you like that tree, huh? You know, like the tree's going to talk back to him. And just the whole scene right there, he's peeing on the tree, he's got his hand on the trunk, and then boom, an arrow just nails his hand, and he sits there and he's like, oh, and he looks and he's like, he goes, damn, and he just starts, you know, screaming. It's just kind of one of those movies where you're like, damn, he should have reacted a lot sooner on that. And the way they kill him off, I mean, dude, that's like messed up. I mean, for all you guys out there, it's like he ended up getting an arrow in the nutsack. I mean, that just makes you just like cringe. It's like, oh, arrow in the nutsack. I mean, that's just, and that's not it. And then they turn it. So that's how he ends up dying. And from there on, he ends up being missing. And then the unmarried couple, they end up having sex, and then they have an argument. She takes off and she's missing. And then it starts becoming of, she must have took off with that other guy. You know, we're going to find her later. You know, don't worry about it. Where the boyfriend's getting, you know, all worried. And then the new wife is telling her husband, you know, he's a big boy. Let him, you know, go out there in the woods. Don't go out there, please. You know, just starting to build up all this tension, you know. And one by one, they start getting, you know, killed off. And you start thinking, okay, so who's doing it? Who's the one that has the most reason, and why is... what's the reasoning to kill each and every one of these people? And you're waiting for the whole big reveal on who it is. And, you know, and at the end, I want to say they try to give a little twist to it. I appreciate and see where they're trying to go for, or that they're trying to get to that twist. I don't think the actual twist was, you know, could have been the editing, you know, process. I don't know, because there's just so many different things that can affect the feel of the movie. It could have been maybe... they didn't use this one scene, or maybe they had to rewrite a scene, or maybe the editing just didn't portray it, you know. And, you know, I'm guilty as well, where I've gone into one project where I think, okay, this is great. Not taking a step back saying, okay, see, I already know what is happening or what's going to happen because I created this masterpiece. So whether I was the editor or the director or the writer of this, you know, of this project, I know what's going on. And sometimes you have to take a step back and look at it and say, did I execute the vision that I had? Did I execute the twist? Did I, you know, lay it out nicely that everybody was able to follow it? Or did someone have to stumble but finally figured it out? I felt that I got it, but I felt that there might have been a one or two scenes that they could have shot that would have made it a little bit clearer, in the sense of, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know if that was intentional or not. Overall, I do have to say I enjoyed the film. I definitely liked how the characters, you know, co-mingled with each other. There's a couple that, you know, a couple characters I looked at, and it's like, well, it just didn't quite click with me, or I was just wasn't feeling it. But for a majority, I felt that, you know, a lot of the interaction between certain characters, you know, were really solid. Some of them seemed a little bit forced, you know, but overall the acting was as good as it was going to be. And the performance was, you know, was well. The actual look of the film was pretty good. I wasn't sitting there at all thinking, wow, this looks like it was shot on an iPhone, or it was shot, you know, and it's not a knock to shooting on an iPhone. It's just more of a comment about the lighting, you know, because lighting has to do a lot, and also with color grading and color correction. You know, shoot something, you know, let's say you're shooting 60 frames per second versus the 24 frames per second. Let's say you're not shooting in a well-lit room and there's no color balance, you know, it's going to be hard to make your film look good. So overall, I do think that the overall look film of the film was pretty good. I didn't sit there and think, you know, like, man, someone just shot this, you know, this was a pickup shot on one day or something like that. So kudos to them. Some of the dialogue was, you know, was well written, you know, and obviously there's a lot of corny lines in there too. But overall, you know, it was a good ride. And if you are like me and you just enjoy watching, you know, watching films that, you know, are not necessarily big blockbusters, but you can enjoy the ride, I definitely think you should give this film a ride. Get in there, get in the car, go around town, go for the ride, you know. It's available on Amazon Prime. Also, if you go to Tubi, which is T-U-B-I, so they got an app on either, you know, the iOS or for the Android. Definitely, you know, check it out under there. And right now, I think those are the only two platforms that I'm able to watch it. Tubi, it's free. So if you're watching, you know, if you're familiar with like Vudu.com and watch those free movies with ads, it's something similar to that. If you don't belong to Amazon Prime, that's another option and a good way to watch it, you know. And the commercials are pretty short. Like I said, give it, you know, give it a whirl, give it a try, give it a ride, you know. And if you're like Captain Groovy, it's one of those films that you just, you know, you just watch, check it off your list, you know, and move on to the next one. So until next time, I am Captain Groovy, and you're listening to the Captain Groovy and Final Girl podcast. And we will see you guys later.